Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Today we get to celebrate Generosity Sunday 2022. And this is an opportunity for us that we get annually to be able to give above and beyond our weekly offerings. This is when we take up a special collection for a special cause, just like we see the churches do in the New Testament. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 9, just to name a few. Now, we usually have two campaigns a year, one during this time of the year and one at the end of the year. The one we do during this time of the year is really a call to members to give this contribution that goes above and beyond. And then at the end of the year, we really try to engage our family and friends, our coworkers to give towards a purpose, a cause in the community. So for the last few years, this in-house campaign has gone towards our vision fund that has focused on our new church home. And we've responded to the call, right? We raised money and God did his thing to multiply our sacrifices. And we are now in our new home. It is amazing. What was done in faith is now a reality. And it's so special to be able to look back and see how God has blessed us. Now, we believed that having a permanent home would be critical in our vision moving forward and coming to fruition, our vision to create churches that mobilize the next generation. We believed that our new home would enable us to have a hub for making disciples and raising up leaders and serving the community, ultimately so that we could create more churches. Because we believe that more people that are mobilized to create new churches, new communities of disciples who are making disciples, the more preventative measures we can take to ensure the well-being of the next generation, not just in this life, but in the life to come. You know, as Nick Stonestreet, our brother, shared so eloquently last week before Ed Beal's baptism, you know, he said, so often we ask the question, what kind of world are we leaving our children? And maybe a better question is, what kind of children are we leaving our world? And so I want us to be able to think about that, because tragedies like the one we just witnessed in Texas and the mass shootings that even happened after that really help make our vision clearer, right? And our resolve even stronger. The challenges that lie before us, yes, they are great, but I believe we will rise to the occasion again, as we have in the past, because we are a generous church, a sacrificial church, a loving church. And it's inspiring just to see how we respond time and time again, and to see the fruit that comes as a result of the generosity and the sacrifice and the ways that we just step up in dark times to really be a light to the people around us, to our communities, and to our city. Some of that fruit already this year, we've baptized teenagers and college students and college athletes and married couples. We even baptized a new member of the virtual church who came down from North Carolina and was baptized just a few weeks ago. And let me tell you, our new Christians are on mission. Our new Christians are already inviting their family and friends. They're already helping them to become disciples by getting into the scriptures with them and sharing what has been done for them. They are paying it forward. So yes, the fruit is there. The question for us is, where do we go from here, and what is required of us to get there? Now, the answer to where do we go from here, I believe that is that we must continue to set our sights on starting a new church in another part of the city. I believe that is what we are called to do, and that is the vision that God has given us. Now, what is required of us to get there? That's simple. Three words: go with God. That's what's required of us, and that's the title of my message today. Go with God. You know, I want to share with you one of my favorite passages that I've held on to for years as I have been in the trenches, striving to just serve God's church and be on this journey with Him, on this journey of creating churches. And we have created churches. We created, you know, and started planted churches all the way from, you know, across town up in Stone Mountain to Bermuda to help start a church in Delaware, the Delaware Christian Church right now that we help to start and we support, right? So along the way, and then we started micro churches or small groups, you know, we really consider to be micro churches. Why? Because in our small groups, we really live out Acts 2:42 and we're devoted to one another, to prayer and to the apostles' teaching. We're devoted to communion. So we're really living it out. We have these little micro churches, these small groups that are living out God's word all around the city. So in this journey, this passage has always stayed close to my heart. It's in Exodus chapter 33, and it's just a conversation between Moses and the Lord as Moses is striving to lead the people to the promised land, to arrive to the place where God was calling them to go. In verse 12, it says this, "One day Moses said to the Lord, 'You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people.' The Lord replied, 'I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you.' Then Moses said, 'If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth.' The Lord replied to Moses, 'I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know you by name.' Moses responded, 'Then show me your glorious presence.' The Lord replied, 'I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you.'" I love this because Moses is wrestling things out with the Lord. He knows that he is called to go out on this journey with God and with the people to the promised land. And he's like, "Who are you going to send with me, God? You keep telling me you're going to send. Who's going to come? Are all these people really going to come?" And God says, "You know what? All you need to know is that I will be with you and I will give you rest. No matter what venture we're starting, no matter what journey we are embarking upon, right? The most important thing is that we are going with God and God is going with us. And if we believe and we trust that God is with us, then we can be at rest. Even though we know that challenges will come, even though it may be a little scary, God's like, as long as I'm with you, you'll be able to put up with all of that and you'll be at peace along the way. And that's what we want as we go on our journeys with God individually and as a church. And let me tell you, this vision to create new churches, it's a little scary. It's even a little scary for me. It was even challenging for me to put it out there again. And because it's like, man, we just got to this new home, right? We're still trying to figure those things out, how to live in this home. And people are still coming back from the pandemic. And there's always uncertainty and there's COVID going up again and there's this and there's that happening, right? And yet I'm like, but if it's God's dream for us, then we have to move forward. And as long as He goes with us, we will be all right. And that's what God tries to tell him. He says, listen, everything's gonna be fine. Everything is gonna be okay. That's what it says in verse 14. "I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you." You know, don't you just love that? You know, sometimes we just need somebody to tell us it's gonna be all right. And sometimes we struggle with that, but no, it's not. How do you know it's going to be? You know what? It's going to be fine. I've been where you're at. I know so many times in my marriage, all Christina needs to know is it's going to be all right, baby. We're going to make it through this. And that's what God does for Moses here. It's going to be fine. Now, we can stress out about a lot. We can make up a lot of scenarios as to why different things will not work. And, you know, these imaginary scenarios or the different challenges that may come our way may be good for planning purposes, right? Because the prudent see danger and turn away. We're able to plan for it, right? But sometimes those imaginary scenarios can also stop us from going with God, can stop us from moving forward. But hey, knowing that as long as God is with us, everything is going to be fine. And that's the most important thing that God tried to tell Moses. And Moses says to God after that, it's like, hey, listen, don't just tell me you're going to come. We really need you to come, because how else are we going to be set apart? You see, Moses understood how important it was to be distinct from all the other people and all the other nations. He wanted to make sure that everybody knew that God was with them. And that's what I talked about last week, that this world is not our home and we can't get too comfortable in this world, right? We can't conform to the patterns of this world. And when God is with us and when we go with God, will be able to be set apart. Lastly, in this passage, when Moses asks to see God's glory, God shows him his goodness. Did you catch that? Moses is like, okay, he keeps pushing. And then at the end, he's like, okay, God keeps saying yes, so I'm going to keep asking. And then he asks, his final ask is, show me your glory. And God chooses to show him his goodness. You see, God's goodness is the manifestation of his glory. And we need to be reminded of that. God knew that that's exactly what Moses needed to be able to get up and go. And, you know, so often that's what Satan tries to take from us, is that knowledge and that conviction that God is good, and not just morally good, but kind and gracious and generous to us. And he got to experience God's goodness. Now, not only did God answer that prayer to Moses right then and there, he also made sure that the people knew his presence was with them. And he did that by showing them a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire that would travel with them, a physical representation of the spiritual reality that they were going with God. Over in Exodus chapter 40, we read about this in verse 34. It says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could no longer enter the tabernacle because the cloud had settled down over it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, whenever the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out on their journey following it. But if the cloud did not rise, they remained where they were until it lifted. The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night fire glowed inside the cloud so the whole family of Israel could see it. This continued throughout all their journeys. Okay, so what do we see here? We see that they built this tabernacle. They were nomads. They were traveling, right? And the cloud, God would descend on the tabernacle. His presence would be there. And once he ascended, then it was a sign for them to move forward. So that would happen at any time that God deemed it necessary. So he knew when the people needed to camp out, and he knew when the people needed to move forward in his wisdom. And yes, he had a plan. We know he had a plan because we read about that in Exodus 13, verse 17. I love this little passage here. It's right in the middle of everything going on with them being set free from Egypt. It says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route for the promised land. God said, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God had a plan. God knew that the shortest route isn't always the best route. You know, as people, we often want the shortest, easiest route. And yet God is like, they're not ready for that just yet. This short route may lead to obstacles that they just can't overcome right now. And I don't need them to get weary and give up. And so I'm going to take them the longer route. It may not be comfortable. It may be challenging, but this is the way that they'll actually make it to the promised land. And I'm telling you, it may have been a little challenging because you can only imagine what it was like for them to have to pack up and go whenever God said to go. No questions asked. Oh, there goes the cloud. It's okay, everybody. Come on, we got to go with God. We got to go with God. We can't get left behind. Can you imagine being the guy that got left behind? Everybody else left, or you sleep through it and you wake up, you're like, where is everybody? Nobody wants to get left behind when the presence of God is moving forward. And not to mention, right before this passage over in Exodus 40, this is right after Moses had set up the tabernacle, right? And I'm talking about, when I say set up the tabernacle, I'm talking about they had to set this thing up. You're talking about a huge tent, right? And they had to hang curtains. They had to set up tables. They had to set up places to wash. It was a place of worship where you would meet God, right? And so they did a lot, kind of like all we do to get set up for church service or to get our church building set up. And then just like that, they would have to get up and go. So you could only imagine the temptation there would be to complain, to grumble, to be like, God, we just got here. And God's like, but this is not it. I didn't just bring you here to stop here. I brought you here because it's part of the journey I have you on to get to where I want you to be and accomplish what I want you to accomplish in your life, both individually and as a church. You know, I remember as a kid, we moved so much throughout our life. I mean, it felt like every year we were moving, right? From apartment complex to apartment complex, or we would rent a house and then we have to leave there and rent another house. And I remember along the way, like every house we lived in had something that was cool. Like for somehow, some way, my mom would always make it like positive. Like I remember moving to Bermuda Lakes, the apartment complex, and it was cool because it was brand new in Kissimmee. It was a brand new complex. Oh, we got a place there. Okay, cool. And then we moved to this little house and they had a basketball goal out front. All right, we found something good in that house. And then I remember we moved to another house to rent another house, and I had my own room for the first time. This was in high school. For the first time in my life, I had my own room. But I remember the time we moved to Woodside Apartments, and that was the one that hurt the most because that was the apartment complex that I looked down upon. You know, it was halfway hood, you know what I mean? And I'm like, this is not where I wanted to be. This is not where I wanted to live. And that's where we ended up moving. And I was upset, but let me tell you, I wasn't going to get left behind. I still needed a place to lay my head, right? And I remember laying in that bed and crying I think I was like a young teenager during that time, and just crying because I was like, man, I don't want to be here. Lo and behold, that ended up being the place where I look back on and have the fondest memories. That's where I found my friend group growing up, and we had so much fun. We spent the summers playing outside together, playing in the pool. We built close relationships. We next door to us, we had a townhouse, a two-bedroom townhouse, and next door to us, Alice moved in, and now she's our play auntie, TT Alice. I mean, and her boys, and so many fond memories. And I think on those times, and I'm like, you know what? It wasn't easy moving from place to place, but every stop, I learned something new. I met new people, and God was moving us towards where He wanted us to be, ultimately to find Him. My mom didn't own a home until I went to college, right? And so even the last place we moved into, that's actually where my stepdad came into play, helped us to move, and that's when the romance started happening. So even my mom's marriage, my relationship with my stepfather, all that is because we were willing to move again. And I remember my mom saying, that she was praying about where we were going to move because we needed to move again. And God directed her specifically to that house, and our lives would change as a result. So for us, we know that moving forward can be hard sometimes. And the challenge, and there is a temptation to just be comfortable and to settle in. But this is just this building that we have, as we've said before, is a tool. And it is a stop in our journey to continue to move forward to where God wants us to go. And let me tell you, the thing about what I see in this scripture is that it's all about trusting God with the timing. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I do know that I want us to be prepared so that when God does lift his cloud and he says, let's go, and he points out exactly where we need to go, then we will be ready. And what will we need? We will need leaders. We will need team members, and we will need your generosity. And let me tell you, God is already moving in those areas. We have continued to develop our Mobilize leadership development program, and we are about to graduate another class of Emerge leaders that we've been training for the first 6 months of the year. And this time, our sisters are involved. So we have brothers and sisters, over 15 people that have gone through this program, learning what it means to just lead with the characteristics of Jesus. And we have our Engage discipleship group, brothers who are learning how to minister, how to be ministers, how to lead leaders, how to make disciples, how to build ministries. And we've been meeting with them throughout this whole 2022 in our building. And so God is moving and preparing us to have the leaders we need to start a new church. We need team members. You know, I want to encourage you to start praying about, is this something God has put on your heart to do? To start a new church, to be part of a church plant, to bring new life to a community, to bring a new hope to a community, right? To bring new love into the lives of families. And is that something that God is calling you to do? Pray about that. And thirdly, we need your generosity. We need your generosity. And as you are thinking and praying about what you will give this year for your special contribution towards the Vision Fund, I want you to consider some of the lessons that we learn and we see in this video.
All right, spare change. Spare change. Spare change. Watch out. Do you guys have any spare change? Hi, spare change. Dude, no way. Thank you so much, man.
I'm on the street too, but this is all I got. Though.
Dude, thank you so much, man.
We're gonna do something.
I appreciate it. We're actually, we're seeing if people will give, and then we're giving back to them. So I appreciate you doing that, man. I'm gonna give that back to you, and then also give you $100. Yeah, man.
No way.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for trying to help me out.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Hey, brother. I still don't have any cash, unfortunately, but I was able to get some tacos.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. I'm not homeless. I'm just seeing if people will give. So I want you to take those back. And then there's $200 here for you.
No.
Please take it.
Hey, by the mercy of God, man, life has been good to me lately. So
okay.
I can't take
pay it forward to someone else.
Pay it forward?
Some other people you see around.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I'll give every bit of it away, man.
That's awesome, man.
Let's do it. Let's go hook up some people in need with money.
That's all I got, but you need a lot more than that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
What's your name?
Louis.
Louis?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, man. I want you to have that.
All right.
Take it back and I'm actually giving the people who give. So I'm giving them 100x, whatever they give me. So that's for you.
Oh my gosh, man.
Thank you for being so generous, man.
Yeah, I mean, my stepdad always tells me, like, I remember when I was young, my stepdad would usually stop the car, and then if he had ever like leftover food, he'd always give it to them or something.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, it just kind of grew on me. So I just try to do the same sometimes as well.
That's awesome, man, good for you.
You know, I watched that video. You can find the full version of it on YouTube, but there's these you know, interactions that really, really moved my heart to see the man that came up and said, hey, listen, I'm on the streets too, but here, take some change. And, you know, for me, I'm like, we don't have to be rich to be able to be sacrificial and give. It doesn't matter where we are. God just wants us to give something to that, have that heart. And he is waiting and willing and will bless us exponentially when we do that. The other is the young man that was talking about, you know what, I just saw my stepdad do this. Whenever somebody asked for money or needed food, he would just pull over and help people. And so that has stuck with me. And I love that, because the example that we set, that's the most powerful thing we have as we raise our children and we even help our young Christians to mature. Are we setting the example of generosity? Because if we are, we never know when somebody will remember how we were generous to them or generous to others, and they will want to imitate that. The Spirit can use that. And lastly, the man who says, you know what, I've just been blessed so much by God. And he's like, I can't even take this money. I love that. He's like, more other people need this. I don't even want to take it. And the guy's like, hey, listen, just give it away. He's like, you know what, I'm going to give away everything you've given me. That is the call for us, really. That is a challenging call and a convicting call, but we have that saying in our household, God, give us more so that we can give more. The more we get, the more we give. And what we've seen is the more we give, also the more we get. And it's just a cycle that God has, because we really are just vessels that he wants to use to show his generosity to others, because we know that God is a generous God. And as we go into our portion of communion, let us remember just how generous he is to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He is so generous that he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. It says that he lavishes his blessings on us. And I hope we've been able to see that as we kept up our journal of our gift lists and striving to get to 1,000 gifts. I'm like at 760 something now. And I've struggled a little bit, you know, over the last few weeks. I got to finish up. I got to get to that 1,000 so that we can really see God's blessings day in and day out and build a deep conviction. So at this time, I want us to remember, hey, let's go with God. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know what we need. We need leaders. We need team members. We need your generosity. And so I ask you today that you will join us in this quest to see God's vision come to reality, to create churches that mobilize the next generation. Let's pray to God. Father, we love you and we are grateful that we get to talk to you, that we get to cry out to you, Father God, that we get to be led by you. We're grateful that you promised to go with us for every single disciple, as it says in your scriptures, Matthew 28, where he says, go make disciples, baptize them, and I will be with you always. And Lord, that promise is a promise we hold on to as we go on this journey with you, in our personal lives and as a church, knowing that you go with us. Your generosity goes with us. We see your blessings day in and day out. And we want to thank you right now for the generosity to give up your one and only son. God, we celebrate your generosity today. And God, we pray that you will use us as a vessel so that other people will see your generosity, so that other people will know about the sacrifice you made through Jesus Christ, but also there's so many more blessings as a result, Father. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.